And to make make recommendations based upon that to the board. It's a 60-some page report. Maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't. If not, please read the 11-page executive summary. And if not that, all the important stuff is on this sheet of paper. This is basically the table of contents from the choices report, and it's actually rather telling. And I'm just going to read a few excerpts out of here, if I can get my glasses, which I don't have. Okay, I'll squint. This is chapter 4, second bullet point. Most people can access bus service within a short walk, but few have access to frequent service. In some areas, two parallel routes go different places. This limits the frequency of both routes. The usefulness of the network depends a lot on your location. Ridership responds strongly to frequency. Ridership is, the network is based around time connections between buses, mostly at Eugene Station. Not even so reading between the lines, what this report's really telling us is that we have a transit system that is really outstanding, pretty good, and sucky. And it depends upon where you are and where you want to go and what time. If you're in downtown Eugene and you want to get to downtown Springfield on MX, it runs every 10 minutes, it's awesome. Read in the report, though, that if you're at LCC, Carl, and depending upon whether you leave at 1247 or 107 or 127, you could have really outstanding service or pretty crappy service. It could take you an hour and a half to get to where you want to go. What this suggests is that, at a minimum, when the consultants develop alternatives, one choice is to kind of stay the course, just sort of tweak what we've got. That would be that would squander the opportunity we have here. What we have is a really outstanding service, okay service, and crappy service, and if we tweak that, we're going to continue to have those three levels. It's really important for us to look outside the box and to think, how could the system be different? In particular, how could it provide more frequent service to lots of people, but not everyone everywhere at all times? You'll discuss this. You've got this here. But your agenda tonight only says talk about public involvement. I urge you actually to expand your agendas, talk about the contents of this. My understanding, which may be changed, is that planners and consultants are going to get together on September 10th to start developing alternatives. So this or your next meeting is probably your last opportunity to have input onto that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zacho. Let the record show that Jerry Gatos is here. I take it there's no other public comment. I don't see anybody else on the list. Agenda review, are there any?
Chair, may I just make an announcement?
Yes.
Under this only appropriate place. We did receive an email from Matt Nelson, who is not present here today, who said due to a personal matter, he is resigning from this committee.
Oh, okay.
So we'll reflect that in future meetings.
All right. Thanks. So could I get a motion to approve minutes?
Wait, actually, I was going to offer just one amendment.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for the prompt. I think I missed it. Under the discussion of the STIF committee, this is on page 6. So in the second paragraph, it says, Mr. Scope clarified, all of that is great. I just want to add also that my, and I believe I stated this at the time, but, you know, there's a lot going on there. My intent, Mr. Scope's intent, my intent was to follow through on what staff and the general manager had told us. It was not a separate request, but my goal was to provide policy guidance as it had been requested. So just that. Does that make sense? Or
is that clear for the minutes? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Other than that.
Are there any other comments on the agenda? Okay. Did I get a motion on the minutes? Motion for the minutes. Amy? Second? Someone?
Second.
Seconded. Seconded by Lindsay, made by Amy. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, the minutes are approved. Officer elections. We are at the point where it's time to select officers because the bylaws have a timeline for that and time's up. So could I get a motion?
Well, I was going to ask, are we allowed to nominate people jointly?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I would nominate Councilor Moore to serve as chair and Amy Cubbage to serve as vice chair.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Josh Gove, seconded by Jerry Gatos to make Councilor Moore chair, Amy Cubbage vice chair. Anybody got anything to say about that? Okay, I'm seeing thumbs up. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations. Councilor Moore, I suggest we swap places.
Wait, is that effective immediately? Look at
he's got a movie to catch.
That's the most peaceful transition of power I've ever seen.
Just like
so
that.
That's what's going to be like.
You didn't know it's okay. Yeah. Okay.
We should have a coup next time.
Yeah, we should.
It's too much energy.
Okay. Thank you.
Council Moore did not have a lot of time to prepare for
this agenda. That is true. Okay. So, Transit Tomorrow public involvement update. Staff? Somebody?
Oh, I'm doing that now.
we got there pretty fast, so it's okay.
So,
I can provide a handout.
Right, you should be getting a handout.
Thank you.
Like this.
That one.
And by the way, thank you, Rob, for your public involvement there. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chair. And basically, this gives you an update on the community engagement so far on the Transit Tomorrow project. And this also is a good resource for you in terms of outlining some of the engagement goals we had in the first phase of our project. Those were to share information about the Transit Tomorrow project, provide the community members with an opportunity for open conversation with staff, understand priorities, needs of community members, riders, and business owners regarding the transit system and operations, and provide a spectrum of opportunities for simplicity. And so we've been working through all of that, and you can see then this document outlines the things that we've been doing, including we've had the stakeholder forum, which several of you participated in. We'll talk more about that. We've been conducting an online interactive survey, and we propose to extend that survey to the end of August. Add some additional time for people to engage in that. We've been doing a number of transit station and tabling and engagement with riders. And then we've held several community listening sessions. We actually had a request come up from the city of Bonita that we can add to that several occasions, and we did that last Friday. we had a good conversation with the mayor and the city administrator about transit meeting. Also, there have been a number of community presentations on the project, including the Springfield City Club, City of Eugene. It's more of a staff meeting, but their land use and transportation planners get together monthly, and we had a meeting with them. The Transportation Options Advisory Committee is another staff committee. The City of Eugene Chamber, the Friendly Area Neighbors, and the Springfield GIC. Also gave a presentation to MPC, Metropolitan Policy Committee, last Thursday, and a request came from the mayor of Eugene to try and give a presentation to the council at some point. So we're going to do that, and we're also going to extend an inquiry to the Springfield Council and the County Board of Commissioners to do a similar presentation. So, any questions or comments on that?
Tom, I remember that discussion at MPC with the presentation from City Council, but based on what Rob was talking about, his comments, do you think it might be more appropriate to do kind of like a workshop-y thing with the councils, where you could ask for their input or, you know, discuss?
It's possible to orient it that way, but depending on where we're at in the process, it might make more sense. I think part of the interest that the mayor had was just in making sure her council was aware that we're going through this and what we're doing.
Yeah. So maybe it also could be a two-parter, like an information at first and then a, you know, some way of seeking their input. Because there are choices that need to be made. And the councils would have, I would think, some good input to that.
Yeah, I think when we get to the stage of the project where we have created some scenarios to consider and look at, I think that would be a good chance to engage, perhaps okay. again.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can you give us a general idea of what you're hearing?
You might recall, since you were involved back when Jared was here the first time, you know, the range of issues and the way, if you've read the choices report, we went through it at your last meeting, for those of you who are here. I mean, they're framing things in terms of, in broad sense, productivity and coverage, or, you know, another way they put that is, you know, you have a short walk to transit, but it's you wait longer, or you have a longer walk to transit and you wait shorter. And I would say, you know, it's weighing in on both sides, so which is what we would expect.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to emphasize what Tom just said, I felt at the June 26th workshop, we had great participation. I know a bunch of people who are here now were there, but really great participation. I feel like staff did a great job getting the consultants ready for that and getting the right people there. It was incredibly productive. The walking versus waiting and the productivity versus coverage trade-offs, I think, left, you know, in everybody's minds. So I think there's a really good community discussion on that, and I'm pretty sure that the fact that we have over 600 responses as of, I mean, a few days ago, probably because I think people were sort of fired up to let their networks know about that. I know I certainly did that. I wish there were a leaderboard of like who'd sort of referred the most people. I was kind of hoping for that, but I missed that opportunity. I also want to say I really appreciate the choices report and feel like it was really well done and sort of takes us to a new level in discussing this stuff, and I think that's been helpful. And I have actually talked to real human beings who are not already on an LTD committee who've read pieces of that. So I think it has had some legs. I think that's encouraging. I mean, it's really accessible. It's really, you know, approachable. So, I mean, it's not a scary technical document. It's very well done. I wanted to make one comment about, and this isn't really even a constructive criticism, it's just a comment about how I think the survey online delivered something slightly different from what those of us in the room on June 26th got. And I just wanted to run this by you. And just quick show of hands, how many people were there? Because I don't remember everyone was there. So like a majority of us. So near the end, Michelle Poirot gave us this question that is very much like the third question on the first real page of the survey, adjustments or redesign? And the text here is, the approach we take determines how much change is possible. Is it better to make incremental changes to the system we already have or to redesign the system completely from a blank slate? And then there's, you know, 1 through 5 scale. And Michelle asked that, I don't know about you, but to me, kind of stark and scary question, like, whoa, full redesign, blank slate. It feels a big deal. And then she said, we wouldn't necessarily, she added this important caveat, we wouldn't necessarily end up with something completely different. We would just be open to that possibility. That caveat is not here on the survey. And I would just encourage us to realize that those of us in the room who heard that caveat, be open to a redesign, but, you know, maybe we end up with something similar to what we have. I mean, Tom, maybe you remember the numbers, it was like 70%?
Yes.
70% were in like number four or number five, like in that category of like full redesign more important or full redesign most important. So there's real openness of people in the room. And I believe the online surveys, from what I've heard, have not delivered that. But I think we should see the results of the online survey through that lens, of the fact that people got this. I mean, I know I would have read this question differently if I had not had that sort of freedom, right? Like, it's not, you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which is what that might feel like to some of us. So I would just say that. I think it fits with Rob's comments in public comment just about, like, you know, how do we like really like be open to change and take full advantage of our consultants? But again, that's just for us to think about as we see the final results of the public engagement come in. But otherwise, I think this is really fantastic and has really proceeded exactly as I think we would have hoped.
Do we have a time when we're going to see the results of the survey?
Well, it closes August 31st, so we could probably bring some semblance of a summary to your meeting in September, which would be normally the 4th. That's planning because that's the day of truth.
Okay.
It would be at that
point. Yeah, September 4th.
Any other comments on this item?
Quick question. So, Tom, the next opportunity for us to engage outside of this meeting, would that be at the September 10th event that Rob was mentioning, the public open house portion of that day?
Let me talk about that. So the core design workshop is actually a 3.5-day event involving staff from various organizations, and at the end of each day, or the first 3 days, at 4 o'clock, there's an open house to share basically what we've learned, what we've talked about, where we're at. So you can, if you want to go every day, you'll see different things because it's a work in progress through those 3 days.
Okay. Can we get invites sent to us for the open house portion on all 3 days?
Yeah, I'm sure we can do that.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments on this topic? Okay, moving right along. I see that we have...
Sorry, let me slip in one other thing. I would just re-nudge everybody, definitely send out the survey stuff to people who you think take it. Just as a reminder, we should all be sort of boosting those numbers. I mean, not padding the numbers by getting people to take it again. Different people, ideally.
Can you take it more than once?
Yeah, let's not discuss that.
Okay. All right, so the next item on the agenda is the State Transportation Improvement Fund Committee, and there is an agenda item summary at the back of your packet, dated August 6th. It's actually August 7th, but I think AJ is doing that. Is that correct?
Yes, I will do that. So we wanted to provide an update to this committee as to where we are with the appointment of the STIF Advisory Committee meeting that is required by the new statewide improvement fund.
OMPOC meeting on Friday, which is the Oregon Metropolitan Planning Organization Consortium meeting,
yeah.
I think. So, okay. It's
we send out the invitation to ALCOG, and ALCOG did disperse it through all of their members. So they have been involved. They also spoke about this at the first, I think there's a monthly meeting of city managers, and then there's a monthly meeting of mayors. So that's the other place that they also talked about this topic.
So I understand, is there only one person then out of
district? Just David Davini is the only person who identified, yes, that he lives out of district.
And we're looking at providing some services out of district, is that correct?
Yes.
So then that was, to me, that looked like we really needed to increase that number possibly, but then my other thought was also employers, and he fills both those gaps, but, you know, I know we've wanted to recruit more employers to be involved, and again, I don't know how we go about doing that, but that certainly would have been a positive to add it to the school, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about this is that this is, as much as it would be great to have more people or anyone in those areas, this is just the committee that will be advising the proposals to go forward. And so I believe that part of the reason that we have asked LCOG to be a part of this beyond transparency is just to help reach those rural communities to make sure those applications get to this advisory committee. So I don't think, I hope that we wouldn't miss out on having applications in from some of our rural partners or even our larger partners looking at intercity transit. But I think that, you know, I don't think we'll miss on those because they're not on the committee.
Right. Well, I'm just concerned that we would not appear, that we would be open to and encouraging that participation from outside the district, and that when decisions are made, should we have an applicant and we decide, you know, for whatever reason, not to follow through with that applicant, that it wouldn't appear that it was because we're all sort of somewhat biased because we're all transit district people, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it would be nice, I think, if we could have a broader representation outside of the district advisory committee. But
yeah,
we can only get what we can get. So I understand that as well.
And I think that's a good role for this committee. When you wear your SPC hats and you're looking at the district's overall, you know, kind of plans on how this money will be spent, you know, and I would say let's stay away from specific projects only because you're wearing different hats. But if you do feel like the communities of Oak Ridge or the communities of Florence, that's an opportunity for this committee to really provide advice to the board of directors to say, even if there's nobody on the committee, what outreach is being done? Can you please share with me conversations that are being held with key stakeholders in that community? Because we're really advising that this is in the interest of improved public transportation for Lane County, this money is. And we want to make sure that that approach is being taken, whether or not somebody sits at the table, that we're not wearing that hat. And that hat, you're only looking at the actual projects and the priority of projects. You're not, under this hat, you really can have some influence as to, well, we don't feel enough outreach, or what did they say when you met? So I think you can really provide a different level of advice about making sure that public transportation is improved throughout the whole county. I do know that the city of Oak Ridge, when they were just approved this bill, said that they're really looking forward to being able to apply. So LTD is their public service provider. So we would have to really meet with them and really say what application, what we submit under that for the city of Oak Ridge. That would be money that's not within LTD's regular funds, that is part of the rural area funds that we would use dedicated for that, and develop a project potentially and bring that for the STIF committee to prioritize. Yes, but we would have to, of course, explain why it's not part of LTD's core system. It's part of that additional service that we receive state funding.
Well, I want to go back then. When does this decision be made if this committee is going to be joined by others to form the STIF committee? That's what I'm understanding. Right? That was our recommendation.
That was the recommendation. A lot of, or some of this committee members did not apply. So because of that, that may still, even though that we wanted to remind you of what you originally agreed upon, and the board is aware of that and will be reminded that you did advise that we don't, they could accept that recommendation or not accept it.
That'll happen.
At this next board meeting in August, okay. Yes.
So I guess then my question is, no, I didn't add that up.
Well, there's only, so I just did, there's only seven people from this committee, 7 out of 15 that applied. So that's a, yeah. But that doesn't mean that we need 8 more people for that committee. And that includes both Carl and I on this list as we are on this committee. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think it's like 10, 11 other people. So we would want to not have 18 people probably on our committee.
Maybe one approach would be to consider accepting the people that applied from this committee, because that's kind of what we've talked about. Then think about who we need to add to meet our statutory requirements. And then maybe third, think about who applied that's not on this committee, whose application is so strong that we just, it would be a shame to deny them because they could really bring something important to the group.
So that's what Katie, Kate, and Carl will be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My understanding that the bylaws were already accepted by the board, is that correct?
No, we have them draft. There's language that has not been finalized that ALCOG, once we turn this committee over to them, they will finalize those. They will also take the bylaws. According to the statute, the new committee can also provide advice about those bylaws. So before the board formally adopts it, we do have the draft ones. We've had them for a long time. That's probably why you think they're done, because we've kind of... Yeah, they've been around, but the last element is that ALCOG, I think the something percentage of low-income housing that we have to define, and ALCOG would do that, and then the committee has to review them and provide some input before the board of directors. Yes, the STIF committee.
Okay. Other questions, comments about this?
Well, just to get clear, so the board will have a final decision on this at the next meeting, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it's not in this packet, but we've had in previous packets potential timelines for how this plays out subsequently. Is there an update there, or when do we expect the first meeting to be held? Yeah.
Well, we will have a conversation. I don't think we're going to make a recommendation. Conversation that if ALCOG is prepared to have their first meeting in September, that, you know, that would be preferred, and after this committee meeting. But it's going to also depend on the size of the committee and their capacity to do that right away. But and they will be meeting with Carl and Kate on Friday. So that's an opportunity for them to get a good feel for that. And we also have invited them to come to the board meeting. And at that point, hopefully once there's more clarity, they can commit to where, if they can have that September meeting. But that would be kind of the conversation we would have with them.
I'd say that just if we could get on, and I guess we can talk about this at the agenda setting committee, but maybe on the next SBC meeting, just review the timeline, since the committee will be formed at that point, and the people who are here will probably want to know that, and then we could also just have a good idea of what our work plan would look like. Because we had talked about having, instead of having SBC meetings, we would have a STIF meeting, depending on how many people were on this committee. And so if it's 7 out of 15 and 15 people are coming and they don't want to be a part of it, then we don't need to have it at the same time.
I thought we had talked about, we also talked about it being sequential, where we adjourn one meeting and then continue mm-hmm. right into the next. But I see what you mean, we're flexible if we don't have all those people.
Yeah,
so I guess I don't want to be entirely without a sense of urgency, just seeing the relatively few meetings we have before the first round of applications would be due, I would just like us to make this decision consciously rather than by default. I guess my tendency would be that for the SPC to recommend to the board officially, like if it, you know, if LCOG can do it, that we should hold that first meeting in September, because we won't really get a chance to discuss that in September, because we're all, I mean, our next meeting will be in September, and so it'll be too late actually to make that decision, to pull the trigger on that.
That's a motion, I second.
Okay. That, yeah, so moved and seconded.
To make a recommendation to the board to encourage LCOG to have the meeting in September.
Or yes, to have the meeting in September, if, you know, pending
have
LCOG's
a stiff
capacity.
Meeting in September.
Have a stiff meeting in September.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Every all in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. My question has to do with first applications are not due until first of the 2019, is that correct? So
there's two periods that the state is accepting them, but from what we understand, the two periods don't change when the money comes in, but we have until May 2019 to submit our applications.
Right.
And those applications would be for a minimum of a two-year period, so that would be the year that they're collecting right now plus an additional year, and we would want to have those applications reviewed and prioritized with advice from this or the STIF committee, STIF committee, going to the board adopting the final plan in time for LCOG to be able to submit that plan over by the deadline, and they haven't given us like the date, that it's just been May 2019. So,
So basically, what the STIF committee is going to be doing is some orientation for the first maybe two meetings, even. We're not going to have a lot to do. Is that my understanding?
Well, I think some of the work that this committee can really focus or that committee could really focus on is number one is making sure that it's trained and understands its roles.
Right.
That it, and how it's different, especially for the members that are part of both committees, mm-hmm. And start asking any questions that they would have about the state's priorities. So, like you said, much more administrative, right. Appointing a chair, a vice chair, mm-hmm. setting a schedule. I mean, we would want to have all that in place right. so that we miss no deadlines and that we all know. You might also want to talk about you know, what you need to be able to make an informed decision, mm-hmm. and you potentially, if there's anybody missing that we have not met a criteria, is to ensure that that criteria is met before you can submit a recommendation to the state. And so you got a couple of meetings that should be kind of administrative working meetings,
right.
and then get right into the work. So it should be about two or three heavy meetings.
Wasn't the there's a first round in November also. So I think that's where the urgency has came from.
Right.
It's not the only round of applications, but it's the first. So I think we were kind of going on that timeline for a while.
And is LTD also making an application? We talked about the student funding that would start. Doesn't look like that's going to begin this year at all.
We talked about
we could begin something and still collect the funds later.
A reimbursement. That
right.
is correct. That would be eligible if the board adopted that. Yes.
Okay.
But at this point, that has not been submitted to this committee for approval. So
right.
if LTD were to start that and then the committee would not prioritize that, then LTD would not be reimbursed.
Okay. So in other words, you're not working on an application at this point in time for student ridership.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, I was just going to say that we are working on a fair policy discussion, which will
right.
begin.
Which overall?
Yes. And that will include the conversation about the youth pass.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything else on this topic?
I guess just a clarification on the motion that I made, that Mike seconded, that we passed unanimously to recommend, that the SPC recommend to the board that, we, you know, pending LCOG's capacity and availability, hold the first stiff meeting in September. How will that be communicated to the board? I think we should just clarify, should someone from the SPC do that? Do you want Kate, you want to do it? Carl, you want to do it?
I think we can just bring it to the board.
Okay. So I can't remember if we've decided on additional process in this. Does that show up in the board packet so people see it? Or what was the sort of process stuff?
I think that's reasonable. There's a section of the board packet where there's committee updates, so we can put that in that section.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Then
Camille's got it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All right. We've sort of dropped stuff in the past. I want to make sure we're buttoning it down.
And we've gotten much more attentive to talking about what's happened at our committee meetings, and we had kind of a group conscience with the board that that's something we need to do a better job of. So.
Okay.
And I'm trying to make it easy for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Carl always makes me do it.
Okay.
That's why it's so easy.
Thank you. So moving on to the next agenda item is future meeting agendas, work plan development. So the chair will ask for updates to be added to the working agenda and which month they should be placed. And I don't see a working agenda. Yes, Mike.
Well, this is sort of to give you a little time to find that agenda, the work plan.
Do I have one of those?
No.
Another video.
So I wanted to just make an observation because it occurs to me that we're at an unusual point in district history, and the unusual point actually has to do with our general manager, who has been very deliberate since her arrival here about the role of LTD in decision making in the community. And what I've heard from AJ, and you can interrupt me at any point, AJ, is that you don't want yourself or the district to be in the position of being perceived as imposing transit solutions on the community. Mm-hmm. And you said that in some subtle ways, and you said it very directly, but I'm not sure to what extent that's really sunk in and what the implication, if the implications have sunk in. But one of the implications is that it places this committee, and probably best, in the position of being really important, because if what AJ is saying is that the district is not in the position of imposing solutions, they want to hear from the community about community preferences on solutions. We are two organizations, BEST and SPC, whose kind of job it is to represent the community. And so it just seemed to me that it's worth taking a pause and acknowledging that and saying that whether LTD actually imposed anything on anybody in the past or not is not really the question at point here. The question at point is AJ wants to be very deliberate about not placing the district in the position of being perceived as imposing solutions, but wanting those solutions to grow organically from the community. And this group and BEST are two organized structures from which that can happen. So I just wanted to make that observation, for what it's worth.
Okay. So, Kate?
Oh, yeah. On that same note, we have obviously had some empty seats and some seats that are vacating. I would like to be able to have this committee take a look at as the seats have vacated and potential members have not been available to show up, who we're missing at the table. Because we spent a lot of time trying to figure out who we wanted at the table. And it feels like we are continually missing out on some important voices for that community input piece here in this room. So I don't know how we would do that if we have all that information. Do you know, Camille, from when we went through that process of talking about the
the category, it's almost like what we did for the STIF committee, like the categorization of where what people represent, who
You're
sit.
Referring to just SBC
specifically? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I do have all that information. We've been kind of keeping that on hold until we got through the STIF process, but that has not been forgotten. It's still in the pipeline, and we were intending to bring that back at a later date.
Great. We do have the draft ones that you guys basically you finalize on this committee,
yes.
But the board was holding.
Right, and not necessarily the sure. guidelines or the bylaws, but who is at this table on a monthly basis. Yeah.
Well, that's very high on my list, actually.
Okay,
it's
great.
Been circulating higher.
Because I'd like for us to be able to do some outreach if we need to get more people on the committee.
Absolutely.
So I'm concerned that Eugene and the county are missing and have been at the last couple of meetings. So.
Rob's here. Thanks for coming. Is that something this committee would like us to maybe reach out to them and state, you know, that there are a lot of important decisions that need to be made and that they're important, their input is very important, and who do they feel is the best representative of that?
Particularly the county's been missing for quite a while. And so
wasn't Sarah here for a while?
Sarah came a couple times.
Yeah,
also at MPC, it was very clear that the mayor of Eugene did not know that this was even happening. And so that seems important.
The STIF committee?
Transit today.
So
transit tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today.
Transit today is over.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. You're living in the past.
Transit tomorrow.
Okay.
So how do we have better engagement from those important partners?
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, it's easy for me to say, having just relinquished the vice chair position, but I do feel like attendance is a classic chair and vice chair, task. I mean, I think staff can help, but I think it means a lot. I mean, it means a lot coming from members of the committee. To sort of sit down and figure it out. And I would just say, like, on the city of Eugene, I do think Mayor Vinnis was very deliberate. Remember, she came to a bundle of these very much to get a feel for this, to be very deliberate about which councilors were liaisons to which functions. So, I think it's at the very least worthwhile checking in with her.
Yeah.
Andy?
So will you be sending out to us the vacancies based on these resignations and what you're looking for so we can suggest people? Or do you already have a stable of people that were considered last time that you're thinking about?
I don't think we have a stable.
No.
So
just the horses
we will
in play.
Probably get together with the agenda committee, setting committee, and see how they decide they want to present it. And we have all of the information compiled. And then you as a committee, I think, will be the ones to decide what format you want to proceed with all of it.
Looks like we have time on our September meeting to do
right.
that.
So that would be one of the agenda items for the September meeting. And then we talked about having a report about the, a brief report about the public input, because it will just have ended,
yeah,
so there won't be
a fresh report. That's right.
I do have
right.
to say, though, to Andy's comment, we got Amy here because I reached out to Cornerstone, and they sent her, and she came to a meeting to observe. And so if there's anyone you can think of that may fit into the seats of people who aren't here.
Yeah, I just don't know what those seats are. So
right.
That's what I was asking, if we could know
the categories.
What
covered. So Annie, I think, she was tech and business.
She's suggested by the chamber initially.
Eugene Chamber of Commerce. Mike was here for Springfield Chamber, I think, originally. Look at him now. And then Rick was with building development.
Well, Springfield, first of all. Rick Satre lives in Springfield.
Right.
He was a Springfield resident.
No, right, but but that was sort of part of
the category.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But also sort of planning development.
Yeah, this is a general.
So it sounds like your suggestion that we get a list of maybe what the general requirements, you know, are for participants would be to add to. Do you want it to be added to the September packet and we discuss it at the September meeting, or do you want to see it beforehand and have an opportunity to confront people? Your choice.
I think yes. I think actually, if we could, Camille, if you could send it out to us just to jog our memory on that,
right.
But then also have it in the packet for discussion. I think that those are great ideas.
And then I think Matt Nelson was for our category of representing people with disabilities. I believe he worked at.
Yes, he was. So if I could remind you guys a little bit. So what happened is we renamed this committee from the MX Steering Committee.
Right.
To the Strategic Planning Committee. And at that point, we kind of carried over a lot of the checklist that we had for the MX Steering Committee, which included representation from the metropolitan cities and the county, the chambers, and a few other businesses, kind of a few checkoff lists that we had. But this committee did some work in saying, we feel that although the committee is large, we really don't have anybody recommending low-income individuals, and we don't have anybody. I think we also reached out to you, Lindsay, as alternative transportation, people that really work in that day in and day out. And I think Matt was just people with disabilities.
And so, Springfield be
and back. Springfield. Oh, yeah. So we wanted to say, in addition to who's already here, we really need those individuals at this table. So how do we find, like, the recruitment was targeted towards finding somebody who could really understand that. And that's when, the tourist industry. And that's how your name, that's how you ended up with us. So we, because we felt that was an important role. So we kind of went out and said, who are those individuals? And we went out and recruited those individuals. And that's how you guys joined the committee. Since then, as you see, some of the old MX Steering Committee members have fallen off, and at that point we were not trying to get rid of anybody, we were actually trying to add people in. So I think it's time to look at it, especially as you guys are going to make some significant recommendations.
Okay. Yes. And at one time when it was the MX Steering Committee, we had a university student.
Yes.
And we may consider trying to bring in that university, and it's hard because of the turnover and the transient nature of that position. However, there is a transportation, you know, section, management, you know, group at the university that we may be able to recruit a staff member that is involved in transportation at the university.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, David Reeser, somebody like that would be really cool. But just a thought.
Or an LCC student. I tried really hard to get one, and it was like I was offering poison. But it's too bad, because I think there are a lot of people who care about it. Just
the
don't
meal
want
for a free pizza. Is like awesome.
Yeah, right. So do we need to add anything more to our agenda for September? What I'm looking at is we see we're adjourning at 6:30, and in fact it is 6:30. So
I had just one other thing. Just before we get too much farther, I just want to be cognizant of the fact that Edward played a really central role in...
I think we should have a some sort of a protest or, you know,
of his,
Edward.
Yes. That's right.
You cannot leave.
The long unemployment version of the hook that pulls people off stage, pulling back on.
Acknowledge that. Yes, thank you.
So I'm sad that Edward's departing. I actually saw him leave. He actually very theatrically was like leaving through a door and closing it like, that's the end right there over dinner. But also one specific thing for next meeting, he, I believe, did a bunch of work to shepherd the youth pass discussion forward. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we should maybe have that as an agenda item so we rustle that stuff back together and know what could be on the table. I just don't want that. I realize, you know, with turnover, there's always some loss of institutional memory. but I want to make sure we don't lose too much of that one.
So who on staff is picking up Edward's pieces?
What do you mean by that, though? Just because we're doing the whole fair policy discussion, which that will be a part of. So I don't want this committee to do other things. Yeah. And I think that when the fair policy discussion really gets vetted out, it should come here first.
Sure.
Before any recommendations get made to the board, before the board sees it, probably.
Would that be by our September meeting, or that's
is that no October?
Way. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, because you still have to have a couple of meetings.
Yeah.
Have, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I just don't want to put extra stuff on our agenda that would feel like duplicative work at some point.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just thinking about, and I know we have this sort of weird mix of deadlines, but I'm thinking about how we would want to have, and see if I get this in the right order, I'm sure I won't. We would want to have, you know, there's going to be a budget, a 2019-2020 budget, generated and then approved in the spring, or generated leading up to and then approved in the spring. Kind of weirdly concurrent, but slightly on the front end of that process, there will be submissions to the STIF committee in May at the latest. Some of us have the insane hope of November, but I'll just say, let's say it's May. But then that has to be informed. I mean, if a youth pass or some version of it is, as I think a large number of us have expressed a desire for, then that has to be well ahead of that to have been incorporated, to both be a STIF proposal and be incorporated in the budget. And I want to make sure we don't lose too much time for that, because we have other stuff going on at the same time.
Well, Carl's on the fair policy discussion, so okay. I don't think it will go without being talked about.
Okay. So then I guess again, so as not to make decisions by default, so then are we saying we are definitely not putting in a proposal for youth pass funding in November?
We? The SPC?
No, the STIF. I mean, like the SPC encouraging.
Well, STIF wouldn't make the application anyway.
No, LTD would make the
application. LTD would make the
application. Right. I know. But going before, I'm just saying. Like,
coming before the STIF.
Yes, exactly.
So I think for November or May, it won't actually matter for implementing the youth pass for 2019. Because with working with the school districts, we can't actually implement that for like mid-school
year. Sure.
So yeah. I think the youth pass is protected, and I think that it is a high priority conversation. Yeah. And I do think that, again, like it will come here for recommendation.
Okay.
Come to the STIF. Yeah.
So do we know when? That would be, I think that's what Josh.
I think we need to separate SPC and STIF. Because we're talking about the fair policy group giving a presentation to this body to talk about the findings for what's coming up next.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about the STIF committee receiving a proposal that LTD staff gives them for a youth pass. And those are two different things. But the fair policy discussion informs the proposal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where having a conversation about it here comes into play until maybe that
until,
fair policy.
Until the fair policy is over. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I just want to point out we are deciding we will not encourage the bringing forward of a proposal until that May round for a youth pass.
I don't think we need to decide that, though.
I guess I'm just
concerned that you want it implemented sooner.
I think we had heard before that it was very difficult to implement it sooner because it needed to be concurrent with the school year. Yeah. But I'm saying we won't even have it before, it won't be submitted as a STIF project until May then, based on this current timeline.
Well, for sure not.
But I'm picking out the one about which there would be least suspense. And I realize that when funding starts, is not affected by whether that happens in November or May, but then I guess we are making the decision that there will be no kind of mid-year backstop subsidy effort of any kind that would be that would take advantage of funding available January 1st, right? So I mean, again, I'm just making sure we're being like totally conscious of the windows as they close.
I don't know that if we did even take care. Like the funding, the reimbursement funding that's potentially available for January 1st, if that we could do anything with a youth pass in correlation with the school districts.
Well, and the other thing is I wouldn't separate it from the service discussion, because again, my experience here has been that it takes a lot to support the youth pass once you implement it. And so you want to have that discussion as well, so it all dovetails.
Absolutely, and it was precisely, I mean, we heard $2 million was approximately was the implication of the Youth Pass program before, because of the necessary additional service, essentially, to support certain buses, certain lines at certain times a day. So I guess my point is just, we are making this decision to push it off and not do anything in that interim period.
So any more discussion about the agenda for September? That was my... Okay, and then I would like for this committee to acknowledge Edward's input to us. If there, we could send him a card or some kind of acknowledgement, is that would be acceptable from everybody?
I will bring a card to the next meeting, and then he'll really be surprised, because he will have been gone for more than a month, and it'll be exciting.
Did they forget me? Okay. So, and then my other question was, who on staff is covering Edward's position?
We are not replacing his position until we get through a few projects that need to get through. We cannot bring somebody kind of in the middle of the projects. So at this time, public affairs will report to me.
Public affairs? Okay. All right. Are there any other items that need to be brought forward to this committee? If not, look at
Right. Shortest meeting ever. Way to go.
Right. So do I just adjourn it, or do I have to take a motion?
It could have been like an hour.
Yeah.